Welcome to the Building Great Lives podcast, a podcast about real life, real issues, and finding real answers to life's most difficult questions. And now your host, Trent Gillum.
Greetings, everyone. Trent here. Welcome to episode number 43 of the podcast. I'm glad you've joined the Building Great Lives journey. Before we get started, as always, I'd like to say a huge thank you to our monthly ministry partners, and of course you, the listener. You make this ministry possible, and I'm excited to have you on the Building Great Lives team here at the Building Great Lives podcast. It's our desire to help people from around the world grow, heal, discover, and fulfill their unique purpose. Thank you for sharing these episodes. We're praying these messages of hope reach every possible person in every possible nation. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the importance of discovering our unique purpose. This desire to have a meaningful existence is innate to all of us. What is your why? Your why answers the what's life all about question. Knowing your why becomes the very filter for all of your life's decisions. Knowing your why provides structure and focus for your life. I believe that every one of you were born by the will of God. I do not believe you were born by, nor as a result of, a mistake. Regardless of the situation surrounding your birth, whether you were born from a planned and loving relationship or the very opposite, I believe God has placed you in this world for a reason. You are not here by mistake. There is a purpose for your existence, a higher reason, a why. I want you to notice what the psalmist David declared in Psalms chapter number 8 and verse number 3. It says this, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." That word ordained there is a very powerful scripture because it literally means prepared, established, and set in place. So when David is writing and saying, consider the heavens and consider the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, he is literally saying that the stars that you see in the heavens, they were prepared, established, and set in the very place that they are by the fingers of God. They are not just there by accident. God intentionally and carefully and purposely placed each star in their specific place. It's with this same great care that God has intentionally and carefully placed you where you are and in the time frame that you are alive. You are not by accident. You are part of the very purpose of God. No wonder Jeremiah marveled at the fact that God knew him before he was even in his mother's womb and had a plan for him. He was there for a reason. God had ordained him to be a prophet unto the nations, placed him where he was in the time frame that he lived just as carefully as he placed the stars into heaven. And that is exactly what God has done for you. You may be thinking, but you don't know my past. You don't know my history. You don't know the reasons surrounding the way I was born and the life that I grew up in. I'm telling you that God will take and create value and purpose with your life. You are not a mistake. You were carefully prepared and established and placed by God to fulfill the very purpose that you are called to in this world, exactly where you are. No matter what country, no matter what status financially, God prepared you, established you, and placed you right where you are for a reason. And that's what I want to convey to you. I want you to find your why. I want you to find your purpose. And maybe you're listening to this and you are young and you're going, I've got to find my purpose for living. And maybe you're listening to this when you're middle-aged, or maybe you're more mature in age. It doesn't matter. Every person has a purpose. You can find your why. It is not restricted by age. So maybe you've lived this far in your life and you're going, I'm not sure I found my purpose. Well, the good news is, as long as there's breath in your body, there's still time to seek and find and fulfill your purpose, the reason that you're here, your why. Now, I've found that our why, our purpose, ultimately is twofold. And understanding this will help us begin the process of figuring out our why. Why am I here? My purpose. What am I called to do? It's twofold. From the very beginning, when God created man, Adam had two purposes. The first purpose was fellowship with God. Adam's first created purpose was to have a relationship with God. God created man for relationship. And then the second why that Adam was created, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Genesis 2:19 then extends this by saying, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. So the second purpose of Adam was that God placed him in the garden to keep. Genesis 2:15 says to tend or dress the garden. And also Adam then named the animals that God created. So the purpose was twofold. First and foremost, fellowship with God, relationship with the Almighty. And the second becomes his uniquely personal purpose. Tend the garden, keep the garden, dress the garden, and name the animals. This is a great representation of the structure of how our purpose is fulfilled. Our very first purpose is, as was with Adam, fellowship with God. This is inclusive of our relationship with God, from salvation to discipleship, even to evangelism, reaching others and making other disciples. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we were called unto him. 1 Timothy 2:3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of truth. Then 2 Peter 3:9 continued this way, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So our very first purpose is, as was with Adam, fellowship, relationship with God. That's getting things right in our spirit. It's the repentance, the baptism in his name. It is the infilling of his spirit in us. It's living a holy and discipled life, striving to please God, have relationship with him in prayer, worship, church attendance, and reaching the lost, fulfilling the Great Commission. So our first purpose is fellowship with God. We've got to keep the first things first. So then our second purpose is revealed in the same manner. Our unique purpose, like Adam, his unique purpose was tending the garden and naming the animals. There's also a uniquely you life calling, an individual purpose. God has designed you for a purpose. You were perfectly created for your purpose, your personality, your likes, your dislikes. All of those things have come together. Your background, everything about you comes together for a purpose. Your life experience, the good times, the bad times, the things that you learn on the mountaintop with God, and the things you learn journeying through the lowest days and the lowest valleys of life. All of those come together to help you discover your why. And it's inside of all of us. All of us want to know, what is life all about? Is there a reason that I'm here? And I'm here to answer you, yes. And the first key to discovering your why has to be a relationship with God. That is first and foremost. And then through your relationship with God, He will begin to reveal to you your unique purpose. And as God begins to open up your unique purpose, revealing it to you, you can begin to step into those things. I have found that many times God reveals our unique purpose through our likes, through our interests, through our desires. Our interest becomes the seed that grows into God's purpose. Those things were put there for a reason, and they are cultivated when we make sure that our first purpose, relationship with God, is in the right and proper place. Now, we'll go through just two biblical examples, and then I want to break down the second one and show you how the enemy wants to defeat your purpose. But we can't talk about purpose and why without talking about Esther. We can't talk about purpose and being in the right place at the right time without mentioning the fact that even Mordecai in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, he said, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, many of us that are familiar with the story of Esther, we know that she has replaced Queen Vashti, and she is now in a place that she can have favor with the king. However, that favor comes at a calling. She's not just allowed to come into the king anytime she wants to. The Bible tells us that Haman decided that he was going to rise up against Mordecai and against the Jews. Mordecai goes into weeping and mourning, and when Esther hears about it, she sends clothing to cover him, but he refuses it because he knows they are in a place that they are about to die if the plan of Haman comes to pass. When Mordecai speaks to Esther, he tells her, "You have to go present yourself before the king." And she understood that this could mean death. However, Mordecai looked at her and said, "It could be that you were called, that you are here, placed in this position at this time for the kingdom. You have a purpose to fulfill." And Esther, rising up with purpose, presents herself before the king. The king saw her and summoned her close. And then when she told the plans of Haman, the king rose up and defeated Haman, and the plan came to naught. Why? Because Esther was in the right place at the right time, called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, I believe that the very same purpose and calling that God placed on her, He takes that same care, placing us right where we are to fulfill His purpose and do His will. I also want to look at the life of Jesus. Jesus fulfilled His purpose, but His purpose also reveals something that I believe that we need to be aware of. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He came to give his life for a ransom for us. His purpose was the death, burial, and resurrection. He fulfilled his purpose. It was not always easy. There were many that would rise up against him. There were also many that were called and healed. And because he came and fulfilled his purpose, even in a garden saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." His flesh cried out, saying, "Even though I don't want to suffer and die, let your purpose be fulfilled." Jesus understood, this is my why. Jesus fulfilled his purpose. But in doing so, it teaches us something about the strategy of the devil. Adam, the first man, was tempted by the devil and fell. We see this same pattern when Satan tempted Jesus, also called the second Adam, in the wilderness. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." The second temptation, he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And the third temptation, again the devil taketh him up into a high, exceeding mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. See, Satan attempted to distract Jesus from his purpose, because if he can tempt him and he could fail, then he would keep him from his purpose. We find the exact same thing with Adam. When Satan tempted Adam, when Satan fell, he prevented Adam from fulfilling his purpose. He messed with his relationship with God, and he kept him from being able to keep the garden because he was removed from the garden. Satan attempted this same thing with Jesus. However, Jesus looked at him and said, "As it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Jesus revealed one of Satan's greatest strategies to tempt us, to create distraction in us, that we fail in our God-called purpose. But Jesus reveals to us that when we keep our relationship with him in the right place, we can rebuke the enemy that comes in trying to destroy our purpose by the word of God. The Lord is teaching us Satan will come in and do everything he can to distract you from your purpose and limit your effectiveness. But Jesus also taught us that when we stand on the word of God, the plan, the strategy of Satan will fail, and we can rise up above the distraction and temptations and fulfill the purpose of God. Where the first man, Adam, fell, the second Adam, Jesus, succeeded, and now through a relationship with him, we can also succeed through his power and anointing. Now, consider these points while prayerfully seeking your purpose. First, seek the kingdom of God first. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made the following statement, "But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The first step to discovering your unique purpose is fulfilling God's purpose in your life. Then he will reveal yours and direct your steps into it. Proverbs 3:6 said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct
thy paths. Secondly, what's your talents and strengths? Maybe it'd be great to take a piece of paper out or take the notes out on your mobile device or computer and make a list. What are your strengths? What are your talents? And then begin to work around developing those things to honor God and to walk in purpose. And thirdly, what is your interest and desires? Again, it might be good to make a list of these things. What are you interested in? What do you desire? Determining your passions often helps you figure out what God has called you to do. It's often said that God works at the intersection of our gifts and our passions. Where do your gifts meet your passions? That may be God's purpose for you. Often, I have found our interests are really God's inspired road signs that point us toward our purpose. Now, I want to talk about a misunderstanding and a false statement. The misunderstanding is this: the mundane means I'm out of my purpose. It's boring. It's a drudge. Every day, just getting up, going about it one day at a time. If I was truly in my purpose, every day would be exciting. Well, that's not true. The mundane doesn't mean you're not living in your purpose. Living out our purpose doesn't mean life is always exciting or you never have a day where you'd just rather stay in bed. Living out your purpose means living day by day, knowing that you are working toward what God has created you to do. And then the false statement: do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Have you ever heard that? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm doing what I love. I absolutely love teaching. I absolutely love evangelizing. I absolutely love podcasting. But there are days that it's exhausting. And even though I like to say I do it for the kingdom, which is true, it's still work. There are times that you're exhausted. There are times that I'm exhausted and tired, but there's work to be done. So when somebody tells you, if you're really doing what you love and you're really living your purpose, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I get it. I know what they're trying to say, but I know people that are living out their purpose, building businesses, building churches, building ministries, reaching people, building relief works. And there are days that it's exhausting. It's work. So living out your purpose means living through the mundane and working even through exhausting days, keeping your vision set even though you are exhausted. And as has become our tradition here at the Building Great Lives podcast, I want to pray for you, listener. I want to pray that God would help you discover your God-given purpose. God, I pray that you would begin to reveal your twofold purpose in each listener's life. First, that they would seek your kingdom first. And then second, that you would begin to reveal their unique purpose to them. That when they see it, they can grasp it and they can begin to walk into it. God, I pray that you would open the pathway, direct every step, shine a light on every footstep. Even if the light does not reveal the entire path, you will illuminate each step along the way that we can fulfill our purpose. I wanted to end this episode a little different than normal. I would like to dedicate this episode especially to my son, John. As long as you continue to seek him, you will find your purpose. And as always, thank you so much for listening. In the meantime, please subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend, maybe text them the link or share it on your social. You can find me on social at Trent Gillum, on Instagram at Rev Gillum. You can also reach me at buildinggreatlivespodcast@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, let's keep building.
You've been listening to the Building Great Lives podcast, a member of the Real Life Church Network. Join us next time as we dig deeper into life's most challenging questions.